At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. We're here talking about Illinois' 88-73 victory over Michigan, making Juwan Howard 0-7 against Brad Underwood in head-to-head matchups. The only team that Juwan has not beaten is the Fighting Illini. Excellent win for the Illini. We'll be right back with Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams, and we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And this is Mike Kegley, and as promised, we have Kedrick Prince, Brad Sturdy here to discuss the Illini's 88-73 victory over Michigan. And I think probably the second half was what we expected of this game when the Illini started playing a little bit better offense, moved the ball a little better, made the easy shots, and defensively they had a little more intensity. Brad, what were your thoughts on this game that continues Juwan Howard's losing streak against Brad Underwood?
Juwan Howard's got to be thinking, man, I do not want to play against Illinois. I mean, it's the only team he hasn't beaten 7 in a row, but you know, I thought the key was in the second half. Illinois did a much better job of putting pressure on Michigan, forcing him to turn. Michigan turned over 8 times in the second half. Illinois only had 4. Illinois shot the ball well. They got great looks in the second half, just like they had all game long. For me, I think that Coleman Hawkins was just amazing. Second half, he had 11 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and in addition to, I think, 4 steals in the second half alone. That was just in the second half. Really impressive what he was able to do tonight against Michigan. And I thought the key is Illinois has continued to score. They've had one half out of about the last 10 halves. They've literally had one bad half offensively. But in this game, the key was that it was the defense. Their defense in the second half was very good. They held Michigan down. They didn't allow them to get clean looks. They made everything difficult for them in the second half. And they threw in some stuff late, but it was after Illinois was up, you know, 15 or 16 points. But I just really thought that the defense in the second half, even though Michigan may have scored 37 points, they shot 45%, only 14%. They didn't let them get going from 3. They only had 4 offensive rebounds in the second half, and they forced them to 8 turnovers. So much better defense, and led by Hawkins. But I thought everybody kind of contributed. I mean, they put, 5 guys in double figures, 6 guys had 8 points or more. That's really balanced scoring. That's ideal the way you do it when you lose your 22-point-a-game guy.
I'll tell you what, Mike and Brad. The defense, Brad, you're right. The second half, you know, I thought they came out with great intensity. And, you know, when you are ranked, Michigan, from my understanding, that's the first ranked team that they've had in Chrysler Arena all year. Their backs were to the wall. because they're struggling and they're fighting, you know, for their coach. I mean, not that Michigan's going to fire him. I don't see that happening. But they came out, you know, and they took a punch, and Illinois took a punch, and then they hung right there. You know, I just really, really think defensively, you know, was the key. They contested shots. Coleman Hawkins didn't have to guard a guy that was, you know, 300 pounds, but defensively he had key strips from guys. And, you know, his NBA stock has to start rising, because he's shown for a couple games now he could go out and he can guard guards in the perimeter, and he got a couple of steals. I know he took one from Namari Barnett, you know, and he's just showing a total package. And it's nice to see him, you know, his senior year go out the way he's going out. But just the overall team, you know, win. And, you know, Marcus Domas wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. But then you have other guys step up and play it, and, you know, when other guys are putting up their average.
So I've got an idea for the two of you. Want to get your opinions on this. So Coleman Hawkins, we put together some – the Illini put together some NIL funds to get him back for his fifth season. And Domask played 10 games his sophomore year at SIU. Let's see if we can get a medical redshirt waiver for that year, bring him back for his sixth year. And then let's see what the Illini can do with Morez Johnson next to those two. Brad, thoughts on those ideas?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, you bring those two guys back with what they have coming in, and you're probably, you know, a top five team. Yeah, I think he only played nine games. He played nine or ten.
Nine or ten, yeah.
Yeah, that year. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think Coleman wants to come back. You know, I mean, I think he's ready to move on. And he's just enjoying it. And he's enjoying it. He's playing fantastic. I mean, this is a guy who's going to – I know people like – I had an NBA scout tell me this. This is a true story. NBA scout told me, he said, man – and he's watched a lot of Illinois, and he said, man, Coleman Hawkins drives me crazy. But, man, that dude's going to be good in the NBA. So – because he just fits the way they play. He's switchable. You can guard him. You can switch him on guys. He uses his length. He knows how to play defense, and he can spot up and shoot the shots that he needs to, so he can stretch the floor, spread the floor, allow those guys to work. And I'm going to be honest with you. And that's where I was so in the offseason when people were like negative on this team. Two of the best returning players to college basketball were Terrence Shannon and Coleman Hawkins. When you look at NBA draft pros, both those guys were projected second round picks. And both those guys have actually played themselves into higher draft picks as this year's gone on. And that's what you want to see. And I'm so happy for the kid. I just want him to keep playing at this level. And I'll say this, when he is like emotional he gets emotional in a bad way sometimes. But part of it, when he is like in the game and hyped up and positive, he's as good as anybody around except Zach Edey in the Big Ten. I mean, he's that good, because he affects the game on both ends of the floor. And I don't know that we appreciate him probably as much as we should.
Mike, Christmas is over, buddy. It was last month. That's not happening. I'm going to tell you, because it would be great to have Coleman back. But I think, you know, the way he's going out, he's way more outspoken than he has been. And, you know, he's just like he said in a couple of press conferences, he's not thinking, he's just going out having fun and he's playing the game. You know, yes, that would be great and special, but I mean, to have a 29-year-old Coleman Hawkins and a 31-year-old Marcus Domas,
but here's the thing. I'll be honest with you. I don't think Domas isn't going to play in the NBA. He's going to go over to Europe and make a lot of money over his career. But you could put together a package if he got a waiver. I think you could put together a package to match his. I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. I mean, that'd be a nice guy to have back too.
I'll tell you what. If you gave Coleman the right package, like you said, I mean, because Kofi's gone. I mean, he made a mistake. I don't call a spade a spade. He should have stayed and got Hunter Dickinson type NIL money, but he chose not to. But if you throw the right money at Coleman Hawkins and he's not going to get that in the NBA, why not? But, you know, I know that's wishing, but it would be really good. And I'm happy for him because, you know, the Illini guys, we have been big fans of Coleman Hawkins, and people have been hard on him. And God bless his dad's soul. I mean, I've called him and talked to him a couple of times, and I'm panicking, thinking he's going to go off. He is totally opposite than Coleman. Most laid-back guy, doesn't care. You know, when somebody says something about his son, you know what? He'll prove him wrong. I'm thinking, okay, man, are you going to go off one of these times? But he doesn't. He has that much confidence in his son's game. And, you know, and Brad Underwood has told us many years how good of a shooter Coleman is. And we've not seen it until this year. So kudos to Coach Underwood, because he's right.
Well, and let's face it, we don't tout our own horn very often, but there have been 4 years that we, you know, 3 years, I guess, with the Illini guys, that we have stood firmly in Coleman's corner and taken a lot of heat for telling people that he's going to be in the NBA, and that other fans undervalue what he does. And we've been consistent with that. And I feel like, you know, this is when he's playing so well that you don't even have to understand basketball to be able to see it. And I find myself very happy for Coleman, because I thought he's taken a lot of unfair heat, and especially when he plays with an intensity that, let's face it, I mean, you know, when you go back into sports, there's always those guys that play with that intensity that sometimes they get too mad. You know, I grew up, remember Dan Marino used to just rip on people if they didn't run the right route, you know, and I don't even think Coleman's that intense, but I do think we've been fortunate that we've been on the cutting edge of what Coleman Hawkins can do.
Mike, how about the other guys though? You know, we've talked about Hawkins. How about Quincy Guerrier and Ty Rogers? Ty Rogers, 15 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, aggressive on offense. He's made free throws. He had a couple blocks as well. I mean, the plus 19 on the plus minus chart. I think Ty Rogers has been fantastic. He's starting to, you know, he's really figuring out how to play when they dork him with the big guys, right? I mean, they're starting to learn to play through that as they see it. They still, evidently, zones are bad, but everything else has been good. And Quincy Guerrier bounces back after a subpar performance with 16 and 14. I mean, my goodness, this is exactly what you want to see. When Illinois has these guys all clicking, they're very difficult to beat. They just don't have the margin for error that they had when they had Terrence Shannon.
Yeah, when you had another All-American to the mix.
Right, you put another All-American in the mix. I mean, like, let's be honest. I mean, they have four guys right now. If you add Shannon in there, with Damask and Shannon and Guerrier and Hawkins, they have four guys who are potential all Big Ten players. That's why, and a couple of those are All-American potentially, right? So that's why this team had a chance to make a Final Four with Terrence Shannon. Now they're still good. They still have three really high-level Big Ten players. It's going to come down to, can Ty Rogers be good enough? Can they be consistently good enough? Can Luke Goody step in? And Justin Harmon continues to just do those things. But you saw when Harmon has a bad game and Guerrier has a bad game and, you know, the Damask struggles to finish and you start putting all that together on the same night, well, then you lose to Maryland. And that's what happens. So they don't have that margin for error with that guy who can get those easy baskets in transition and also is an elite defender.
Brad, you started off with Quincy. I'm going to – the next time he's in a press conference, I'm going to ask him, you went to Syracuse, you went to Oregon, and now you're in Illinois. Which place, it was, if you look at the big picture, was a better fit? And if you look at statistics, he's got to say Illinois. I mean, he had a good, decent year when he was at Syracuse. But the way I watched him play, because I remember Illinois recruiting him and talking to him. I'm going to tell you, he looks like a different player right now. They run plays for him. I mean, when Michigan went to the zone, Brad Underwood was screaming to get him to the baseline. I mean, think about that. When you have Luke Goody out there as well, I just think he is so underrated, so undervalued. He will not be first team All Big Ten because you've got other stars out there. But I'm going to tell you, he definitely should make second or get a look at second or third team without a doubt.
Yeah. And I will say one thing. I was half joking, but really not. when Ty Rogers does those little runners and that baby hook, he does remind me of Magic Johnson. I'm not talking about all the rest of the game, but that old man, like you go down the lane and you think you can stop him, but you can't, you know, somebody's like, oh, I'm going to take an angle and I'm going to block that thing into the crowd. And they take an angle and somehow Ty just gets it right over their hand, you know, and as he gets more and more confidence, I think that's going to become more of a big thing as well. As we look at it defensively, anything that you saw different in the second half that helped the Illini do what they did, Brad?
They did a much better job of being connected on the defensive end. I thought not just the help defense from Coleman Hawkins, but I thought even just being able to fight through screens, they really forced Michigan into taking difficult shots. They stayed in front of them and they were connected. They didn't get space. And now I will say this. If you can figure it out, Illinois struggled to guard Jameer Young in ball screen options situations. And so Michigan waited until the second half there to run anything like that. I mean, would you not run the same actions that just gave Illinois trouble? But instead, they didn't do that. And that's why Michigan's lost 7 games in a row to Illinois, and they didn't understand it. But I thought what they did, Ty Rogers did a great job of really forcing Doug McDaniel away from the ball screens. I thought they did a great job on Namari Burnett, no matter who was guarding him, whether it was Gary or Damask, whoever it was, Hawkins getting switched on him. They really locked him up, and they made life difficult for him. So they knew that, they were going to get something. Terrace Reed, you know, gets 20. Nakamura gets 16. But Nakamura does 16 points on 13 shots, has a couple turnovers. Burnett only has 4. Terrence and the Williams kid, Terrence Williams, he did not have a good game. I mean, he really struggled. I mean, he scored, ended up with 8 points, but most of them were after the game was over. So, you know, I thought they made McDaniels, he scored 14 points, but he did it on 18 shots. They really made it difficult on him. So they did it, and Michigan doesn't have a great deal of depth. And so they don't have a lot of guys that score outside of those guys. And they did a fantastic job of staying connected to their guys and really making them try and score one-on-one. And it's something that works for a while. Nakamura's hit some good shots. Reed hit some tough shots and got into the rim a few times, but over a course of a game, you keep running those tough things. McDaniel loves to shoot the ball, and he's going to shoot him. He'll shoot him in a game sometimes, but Illinois let him shoot them out of the game with some difficult plays.
I just think the way I'm going to sum it up real quick. I think the way they could switch on the perimeter made life hell for Michigan. I don't think Juwan adjusted well to that. And a lot of people like to make fun of Juwan. I think he's a pretty decent coach. I think they run good stuff. But I think they were frustrated, you know, because they couldn't get to the rim. But I'm going to tell you, I would give Illinois credit, too, because teams are – they're trying to take away Brad Underwood's booty ball. But the reason I'm giving him credit, they're cutting, and the right guys are cutting. Teams are – you know, I call it guard a man and a half. There's always a guy who's guarding a man and in the middle of the floor or the baseline. But what I think Marcus – hopefully, I know he's not listening to this podcast, the middle of the floor is open. He's great at, you know, the baseline, but that middle of the floor, he's extremely dangerous as well. So teams are guarding him, and I know at some point they're going to figure that out because Quincy will go behind the screen, which is why he's open. So they're slowly starting to figure that out, which I really, really like. But defensively, it was a question you asked. I just think because they can switch, and when you can switch – and you have Coleman guarding a guard. And then I'm going to give credit. Justin Harmon was down there battling. Here's a guy that's probably 6'1", or 6'2", if he's lucky. He's down there battling. Yeah, he had 4 fouls. And then you got Ty Rogers. I mean, they do a really good job. And they didn't foul a lot down there either. And I hope you asked about the technical foul, Mike, because I have a comment about that. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was definitely – why don't you go ahead and hit that, and then I'll hit another subject.
Okay, here's the deal. Here's my thought. You got to call it, but you don't. You warn them. You warn the kid, and then you say something to Coach Underwood, because they've been celebrating the whole game. Just say, because you know what? I had a couple coaches text me and say, oh, do you tee him up? I'm like, no. And Stephen Bartle was one of his better games tonight. I thought he was right. You're on the bench. You don't make it about yourself. It'd be different if he ran on the court, if he was further down the baseline. They were celebrating and they weren't taunting. If it was taunting, it'd be different. There's guys out there that are taunting, talking trash, and they don't say anything, and yet you call that. Just wasn't a fan. And it seemed like every time I've had a number of people tweet at me, just opportune times things happen in Illinois. RJ Melendez gets that technical foul in the NCAA tournament, or Big Ten NCAA tournament, that came out of nowhere. It didn't affect the game. Could it have? It was 11 minutes to go. And some change. Maybe Michigan could have got on the run, but I didn't think that was the right call.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was silly. I thought it was a silly call. Didn't affect the game. Did Harris go maybe a little too far out? Yeah, but he's a 19-year-old kid trying to have a good time in a basketball game, and God forbid somebody have fun. That would be awful.
Don't you think that almost like knocked the refs back in some sense into their heads? Because
no,
at that point they had called five fouls on Illinois. They had a technical on Illinois. Michigan had two fouls. Illinois was the only time they had stopped play twice that Illinois was on a roll with foul calls. It seemed like that was the only thing in that run that was keeping Michigan in it. And then they kind of calmed down that clip of whistling at the Illini. That's something Larry Smith talks about when you see a team get a bunch of calls right after the half that allows them to close a gap. And that was what it felt like that was happening again.
Yeah, I think that remember last year when Illinois was kind of rolling against Indiana and Hawkins gets technical TJD.
Yep.
The Hank thing, the straight cash. I mean, there's so many things that just bizarre technical fouls. Here's another one to add to the legend. And you would just wonder, and I'm not trying to be, look, I get it. You're trying to stay in control of the game, but that's a great opportunity to just give a warning. They give a sideline warning in college football and everything. Just say, look, hey, stay back. If they did that every time a guy did that, they call technicals all the time and they don't do it. And that's my problem with it. You have to do it all the time or none of the time. You know what I mean? You can't just pick and choose. I thought it, you know what's worse? I thought Quincy Guerrier was going to get a technical for hanging on the rim the one time.
So did I, because he twisted one hand after he did it.
And he twisted, and he almost pulled legs up. But they said, well, we've already called one technical, so we may let this one go. How about that? I don't know. You have to be consistent if you're going to apply those rules. And I'm not saying that maybe he did exceed what he's able to do. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying it was kind of silly.
The other thing I wanted to kind of throw out there is, and I tweeted about it during the game, but isn't it weird the journey that these two basketball programs have been on? 4 years ago, Illinois and Michigan was the prime matchup of the Big Ten. It was the battle, the two number one seeds. And now all of a sudden, Illinois goes up to Michigan's house that's half empty, beats them by 15 with their All-American suspended. It's an interesting journey that both teams have been on. And I'm not trying to say that, either team has done what they wanted to do, but boy, it has been the brakes have kind of come off Juwan Howard's program, and Brad Underwood seems to have understood how to build rosters in the area of the transfer portal, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a different, trajectory, right? I mean, it's just been completely different, and it's weird to me. I thought that Michigan, it's pretty clear they do well in football, right? I mean, they can recruit, look at people.
They do okay there.
Yeah, I mean, they just won the national title. They haven't been very good at, and I'm not trying to. They've recruited some one and dones. They put, two guys from first round. They've had some really good players come there. Don't get me wrong. And Hunter Dickinson was a great player for them. They haven't been as good as they probably should have been. So when they came into this season, and I like Doug McDaniel. I think he's a really good player.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to play on the road, but he's really talented. Nakamura's a good player. I like Terrace Reed, a big guy. They got good guys. They got some good guys. They have no depth, but they don't have elite guys. You know, they don't have many elite guys where you just go, oh, how do we match up with this? How do we stop this? They can do so many things. And then they just don't guard very well. In a lot of guarding, and I know this sounds simplistic, but a lot of guarding is just scouting and making the right guys, the other guys beat you. I mean, that's part of the whole system, making the other guys beat you and putting them in good position. And teams that are consistently good, I always said, like when Bruce Weber coached at Illinois, he always had a baseline because they were going to be solid defensively because he was a good defensive coach. But they were some years they were terrible on offense because they were just really bad the way they played. But so you have to look at it and kind of say, all right, so what's Michigan's thing? What, they guard well? No, just get really talented guys, and then they go play. Some days they're really good, and some days they can be really bad. And I think you saw, even this game, I thought in the first half they played pretty well, offensively especially. Second half, just kind of went, just didn't have it. And so that's what you get when you're not connected. You don't have a lot of depth. You don't have a lot of overall, like, just star talent, and you aren't, very good defensively. You don't have that great defensive game plan, which they clearly do not.
I think Juwan missed an opportunity. I think they were hot. They were playing well. He was a good name. He proved that he could coach a little bit. They did well in the NCAA tournament. They got to the second round. I don't want to say he got lazy, or maybe just got bad. Maybe it was bad luck. But I think Brad Underwood just kept going with recruiting. I mean, if he didn't get the freshman he wanted, he went out and he has mastered. He has mastered the transfer portal. If I don't care what you see on social media, if you had to pick one of the top five programs in college basketball regarding the transfer portal, Brad Underwood's face has to be there because you got Plummer, who was an All-Big Ten. You got Matthew Meyer, who was an All-Big Ten. Terrence Shannon last year. I mean, they have Marcus Domas now. So I just think Juwan Howard missed an opportunity for himself to take advantage, whether it be the high school recruiting, because, again, I think he can coach. I don't think he's bad. I think he's got good guys around him. The whole issue is right now for him is to be able to go out and get kids. A lot of guys say, oh, yeah, you're one and done in the NBA. That's great if that's what you want to do, but you have to replace those kids.
Yep.
I'm gonna differ with Ken. I don't think he does a very good job. I don't think he's a very good coach. I think he's a great – I enjoy talking to him, but I just think there's something missing. I don't see the kids – performing for him. I just don't see that the X's and O's that he needs to have, and which is, do you think coming from the NBA he would have more of that? But, and I don't know if it's even game plans. I think in-game adjustments were lacking, and I don't know, but and I don't feel Martelli's a good coach. He has a historical record history of being a good coach, but there's just something, there's some disconnect between him and his players at Michigan right now.
That's okay. I still love you.
I actually,
you too, man.
I yeah. We just had a moment here on our podcast. So we got to get out we need to get a beer and have a man drink. But the bottom line is, I actually think there is something that's not going right there, and I'm not certain what it is, because I thought Howard had what it took. And again, something's, I don't know what's missing. There's an X factor there. We're not around the program up there enough to know, but there's definitely a missing ingredient. The cake is not rising, and there's got to be some reason that's happening. So if we take any final thoughts on tonight's game, Brad, from your standpoint, it was a game that I thought would be closer than this. At Michigan, and the Illini at the half, I was worried we were going to be in another one of those games where it comes down to the last possession or two, and you don't want to let a team stay close to you, particularly in their house. And I thought Illinois took care of business much better than I anticipated.
Yeah, I really think they did. I mean, everybody wants to, blow them out. Well, you won by 15. I mean, when you win by 15 points on the road in the Big Ten, like, I think a lot of people expect to win by 30 because we went on a run. Well, the other team tries to, our team's good. Those talented guys, and they're going to make runs, and they never quit. So give Michigan some credit for battling back at times, but they were clearly This is an Illinois team that when they defend, they have a chance to be really good. And I think they're going to get better defensively. I think they relied so much on Terrence Shannon. And the other aspect of this, a lot of people are talking about, well, why has our rebounding gone down since Terrence Shannon went out? And I'll hit on this real quick. When Terrence Shannon's in the game, if you miss a shot, you have a streak going down the court. Same thing with Ayo Dosunmu back in the day. If you have to get back on defense. Without Terrence Shannon, who are you concerned about sprinting down the floor in transition?
Goody? No one.
Luke Goody? I mean, you can pass him. You can catch him. Let him have a head start. I mean, you know, so Gary, is going to the boards. Hawkins got to go to the boards. Even DeMas got to go to the boards. And Ty Rogers, who's probably the most athletic of that group, he's got to go rebound too. So you don't have a guy like Terrence Shannon. He gets the ball. He's going to change in. So you're not as worried about transition. So that's why you attack the offensive glass more, because you're less worried about those guys getting those easy baskets in transition. And so now they get second and third chances, and that really breaks down your defense. But if they can defend, they don't have to be the best defensive team in the country, but they can be a solid defensive team, play solid, sound defense, understand scouting reports, and rebound, then this team offensively is good enough that they can really do some damage throughout the Big Ten season and into the NCAA tournament.
Well, I'm going to say a name that no one mentioned or Brad did. I think he was huge tonight. His numbers aren't flashy, but I think Luke Goody was solid. I think his threes that he hit tonight, I think they were timely. I think they were big-time threes. And guys typically in years past, Illinois, they hadn't had a guy like that. I mean, no, he didn't put up the get the six steals the way Coleman Hawkins did and double-double and Quincy and Ty Rogers. But I thought his timely threes were huge. And I think he played really good defense. I know people want to criticize him and think he's not the fastest guy in the world. And he's not, but I thought he was huge tonight. I was impressed because, like I said to you, those threes were big time.
Yeah, I agree totally. One last name, because I think we probably should bring it up. Moretti made his return to play and coming off that foot injury, a painful injury, which took some time to get him back into action. Quick thoughts from each of you on how he did in his first time back in.
Yeah, I thought he was fine. I mean, gave you 6 minutes. He had a bucket, so it's nice to see him get a bucket. He, you know, kind of get the rust off. You can tell he's not totally comfortable moving. He doesn't have that same burst or quickness, especially on defense. And he's still, you know, he got switched a couple of times on. I think it was one time he's guarding Terrace Reed, which is not a good matchup in the post. But you know, he battled. I thought he did a good job. You can just see what he does. He made a couple of passes that were really good passes. They didn't lead to assists. You know, a guy missed a shot or what have you. But you can just see this guy he's special with the ball. He's special at making plays, making reads. And yeah, I really think he can raise the ceiling of this team if he can come back and give them 10 to 12 minutes a game.
This is probably so unfair for me to say about the kid. I feel bad, but I'm going to be honest. Because he just got off of an injury, and Ray Charles could see that. Okay, I get it. But I think he's better in the open court. It looked like he was really, really struggling to try to get past people. And I think he's quick and fast. He's dynamic in the open court. Maybe when he's healthy, we'll be able to see him be much more effective in the half court to be able to – because he's not going to be a big-time scorer. Passing, obviously, is his forte, and I'm cool with that. But I just thought he really struggled. And you saw, you know, Michigan really dig into him defensively because they didn't think he could handle the ball well good enough. I don't know, whatever. But I just, you know, again, he's coming off of an injury, so I don't need people texting me or going to our board, cut the guy some slack, Kedrick. I said it. That was just a concern you asked, and that's my 2 cents.
Perfect.
One thing, I'll piggyback on that a little bit. I think Ked's right. I think the bigger issue for him is just when he gets in the half court sometimes. Today was pretty physical, so when he can get bumped and he can get off his line. So I don't know if it's quickness as much as his strength. And so when guys are allowed to body him and put hands on him, then he's going to have a hard time right now because he doesn't have that strength to do. And I don't know if he has the confidence either. So like you mentioned with the injury.
True.
Yeah, that I was going to say off the line is where – you know, especially in the Big Ten, when you start playing against Michigan State, Purdue, you know, teams like that, even Maryland does a nice job of moving people, you know, off their line, and it's not easy to penetrate against them. So with that, guys, we really appreciate you coming and speaking with us. Hold on 1 minute, folks, and we will wrap things up for you right after this brief message.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. We greatly appreciate everybody. We would also like to thank Brad and Ked for taking some time on the evening to carve away from their family and talk about Illini sports. We had a fantastic conversation. It was a fun game to watch. If you are thinking about joining IlliniGuys.com, $99 for 1 year. It's the same price we've had for 3 years. We have not went up any despite all the inflation you see around. You get 7 days to kick the tires before you get charged. I would encourage you to do that. There is a ton of analysis on the Terrence Shannon Jr. situation that is back on our subscriber boards. There's a lot of people with opinions that are very strong based on their professions and the years that they've been working and how good they are at their profession. Kind of get a little idea of what's going on, give you a little idea of what to look for and where the Illini fans can find a little hope. You got to have a subscription to get back into the message boards, and we would encourage you to go there where you can basically figure out what's going on, everything Illini behind the scenes. So for Brad and Ked, this is Mike saying thank you very much, and go Illini.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.
At Ashley, you'll find colorful furniture that brings your home to life. Ashley makes it easier than ever to express your personal style with an array of looks in fun trending hues to choose from earth tones to vibrant colors to calming blues and greens. Ashley has pieces for every room in the house in the season's most sought-after shades. A more colorful life starts at Ashley. Shop in-store, online today. Ashley, for the love of home.